Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Our readings from the Word of God come from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Psalm 150, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and the Gospel according to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. Today's message is titled, Love as Revealed in the Word. Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in the charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. The eunuch asked Philip, Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave order to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Here ends the reading from Acts chapter 8. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord! Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Here ends the psalm. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The end of the reading of 1 John chapter 4. The Gospel according to John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Jesus begins, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Here ends the gospel reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of inconceivable power, O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that the things that were cast down are being raised up, and that the things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Beginning with the promotional period that came with our Honda Pilot, we had on and off that satellite streaming service, Sirius XM. The first 3 months were free. Next, I signed up for a one-year package with a ridiculously low price. Then, after the year, the regular price kicked in for each month, and we kept it about a year. I canceled the service. For the next 2 months, I kept getting promotional offers. I then took them up on the offer for another year at a great low price. Then the regular price kicked back in. After 2 months, I called to cancel. A low promotional offer price was a low promotional price was offered for a year, which I accepted. My favorite channels are 60s music, 70s music, the Broadway channel, which is music from Broadway shows, and I like easily listening music. Those are the few of the channels set in the pilot, and the girls have their own channels set. At home, I stream those stations and others that are only available on streaming, which I'm listening to as I write these words, and that last night was the 1970s love songs. Yes, that's one of my usual go-to stations, 1970s love songs. For that music brings back memories of Friday night roller skating, and in particular learning to backward skate so I could skate the couple's skate, skating backwards. Yes, that was me, fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade, Friday night roller skatings and skating backwards during those couple skates. Now, do any of these love songs bring back the memories to you? The Bee Gees, How Deep Is Your Love? Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are. The Carpenters, They Long to Be Close to You. Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You. Anne Murray, You Needed Me. Dolly Parton, I Always Love You. I Will Always Love You. Or Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, December 1963, better known as Oh, What a Night. Or Jim Croce's I'll Have to Say I Love You in a Song. I could keep listing many more songs from the 70s, and I expand that list by adding the love songs of the 60s, such as Elvis's I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, or Cherish, or To Sir with Love, or that song What the World Needs Now is Love. So many, so many. Seems love is a very popular theme to sing about, and here's a portion of the lyrics from What the World Needs Now. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, just not for some, but for everyone. Love is deeply desired. It's written about. It's sung about. Much about those four letters, L-O-V-E. And then they become even more powerful with those wonderful three letters that you hope follows, Y-O-U. Have you seen the movie American Graffiti? Released in 1963, and in the past 50-plus years, it's become a cult classic. As a matter of fact, it was American Graffiti's success which made it possible for George Lucas to start his Star Wars empire. In American Graffiti, the character portrayed by Richard Dreyfuss is riding in the car in the back seat, and he sees a beautiful blonde pull up in a beautiful white T-Bird. A white Thunderbird, that is, the old style, the classic Thunderbird. They are stopped at the light at the intersection, at an intersection, while sitting in the back seat of his friend's car. A white Thunderbird pulls up alongside them. The driver, that beautiful blonde, portrayed by Suzanne Somers. She looks over, he sees her, and then she mouths these words to him, "I love you." And for the rest of the movie, Kurt, that's Dreyfuss' character, tries to find out who she is and how to meet her. Simply for those words, "I love you. I love you." It's powerful words. They're moving words, even when they're silently mouthed. "I love you." There's a place with even more powerful reality, as those are words spoken by the one and only true God. "I love you." John chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Verse 12, John 15. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, one of the disciples that heard Jesus said, "I love you," writes, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Many places in John's writings, there are words written about love, such as chapter 3 of 1 John. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Paul also has written, Romans 5:8, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Love, love, love. Now I'm not this morning going into the different Greek words that can be translated as love. I'm going to leave that for another time. Rather focusing on the English word love that draws a deep heart moving response when someone says, "I love you." 1 John chapter 4, you'll find these words, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him." Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Let's sit in those words for a moment. To bring discernment to these days we live in, God is love. That is true. That is true. It's the deepest revealed nature of God. In Scripture, God is compassion, and that compassion is expressed as love. I again often take you back to God walking by Moses, proclaiming his name, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. You'll find this written in Exodus 34, the compassionate and gracious God abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This love nature of God is expressed, is shown concretely through the forgiving we have experienced and received. Just as 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is God's love for us. 1 John 4, verse 16 has this short phrase, "God is love." In the Greek, it's theos agape esten. God love is. Esten is the verb eme. I am. I exist. God, love, is just as the I am statements of Christ Jesus. The very existence of God, love is. And this love is eternally. Through the years, many have tried to put forth love is God. In other words, changing God is love to love is God. When you see love, you see an expression of God. To plainly state it, that's not necessarily true. When you see love, you see God. That's not necessarily true. Here's a simple example to help show God is love is not the same meaning as love is God. It's a really short, simple sentence. Dog bit man. Switch the order. Man bit dog. The meaning is decisively different. God is love. This is true. Just as the Apostle John wrote. But love is not God all the time. For there are times that love is not necessarily God. God is the truest, most purest, and most wonderful love ever given. Evidence is the beloved begotten Son atoning for our sins by willingly and humbly dying on the cross and rising on the third day. To speak more clearly of love and to bring discernment into the forefront to understanding what truly is love, I must digress for a moment to bring you two words to help understand. Subjective versus objective. Subjective and objective. Objective, which means verifiable based on facts and evidence. Subjective means perspective based on feelings, opinions, or emotions. Example, math tests. They are objective tests. Back in second grade, me and my best friend Jimmy got the same grade on the math test. However, when we looked over each other's test and compared mine to his to mine, there's one question we had different answers for. During the problem again, I showed that my answer was right, and it was right. My answer was right, and his was wrong. And we showed the teacher, and the correction was made. Objective facts. Now, for subjective to illustrate, it's well by writing assignments. Subjective is illustrated well by writing assignments in English class. Correct grammar, correct spelling, that falls under objective. However, the question of how well the work was written, that falls more under the subjective. Perhaps some of you experienced an English teacher that just didn't like your style of writing. That's subjective. Another example is from music being adjudicated. The band plays the music, correct notes, rhythms, and rests. That's an objective measure. Properly performed, fortissimo, pianissimo, the contrast of dynamics of loud and soft, the contrast of tempo, andante, allegro, largo, vecchi, the expression of the music, the overall beauty of the playing of, that's subjective. The subjective can overrule the objective in music. The emotions that were elicited from the sounds entering the ear and touching the soul. The emotions that came from moving by the music, that's subjective. And when music, it's possible to give musically accurate performance, meet all those objective criteria in accuracy, but totally lack the subjective of emotion and feeling that derives and reverberates in the depths of the soul. Music that brings a visceral response to the surface. Objective, subjective. What to do about love? Objective or subjective? For there are loves that are not of God. There are loves that are not of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, to be clear, the word agape is not there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Rather, it's the Greek word that means avarice, which is the love of money. Along with avarice, the word means greed. And also, you can love these things too. How about a sadistic? I mean, sadistic, it means deriving pleasure from inflicting pain. There are some people that derive pleasure. They love to inflict pain in others. That is not of God. I mean, this trend that's growing more and more, you see it on the news, you see it on the social medias too, of an individual, oftentimes teens, and coming up to an individual and blindsidedly cold-cocking the person and knocking them out cold. There are people that love to destroy things. To them, it is love. They love doing it. But as you can easily discern, it is not love, as the Lord clearly shows. Now, there are other examples of love that are kind, they're gentle too. To our subjective emotions, the expression, love is love. But one needs to step back and bring in the objective. And you bring in the objective from God's revealed word. For what the world subjectively bases on the emotions involved, the world desires to define a love as love and celebrate as love through the objective lens of the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. You'll find out it's far, very far from true love, from the love of God. Now, where to turn to bring forth the objective lens of the Word of God? Exodus 20 is a very good place to start. There you will find is written the Ten Commandments, beginning with the Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make a graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then you bring in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Love. The love that the Lord means, first and foremost, means love the Lord God with all you are and all you'll ever be. Love Him alone. No other gods, no graven image, no idols. Never use the Lord's name in vain, and always gather in worship of the Lord. With this in your heart as a foundation of love, the rest of the commandments will guide your understanding and expression of love. I mean, pull out your old small catechism, Luther's small catechism. Remember how all the answers begin with, from the Ten Commandments section, begin with, we are to fear and love God. Actually, the first commandment adds, and trust above all things God. But we are to fear and love God. Honor your father and mother. It means to respect and obey in the home and in the community. That's how you show love. Well, the lack of respect that stretches across the globe right now, it's lacking love, really. Not kill. The commandment, do not kill. And it means to love in a manner as not to hurt your neighbor. You love in a manner you don't hurt your neighbor. Just one example. The old Hippocratic oath in practice really means, first, do no harm. Do no harm. Yet we find today organizations are signing off and pushing affirming care with less information as to the long-term harm than ever before in medical care of children. And that's paraphrasing Dr. Phil as he points out that fact. Affirming care lacks the medical evidence to do what they're doing, especially in the long-term harm. What we are witnessing is the exponential growth in this confusion of identity. It really is a social contagion driven by social media. A person can go from being an unknown somebody on the sideline to the center of everyone's affirming attention. A mediocre athlete can go to being a state champion. Finally getting that longed for attention that they've been craving. This is what is driving the social contagion, a confusion of identity. And the social media is pouring gas on it. into the confusion instead of the compassion the child needs, the person needs to get to the core of the matter. The affirming care under the guise of love and compassion initiates the first injection, which is irreversible. Changes the hormones of the person, the child's body, forever. One cross-hormone injection brings a forever change. It's irreversible. And the euphemisms describing the irreversible surgeries, which ought to be in the same light as the evils of Joseph Mengele, were revealed. Instead of compassion for confused, hurting individuals, children, adults too, compassion they really need to get to the core of their hurt, really what's happening is a cash cow of lifetime dependency on cross hormones is seen, which goes into the hundreds of thousands of dollars for each individual set on that lifelong dependency path. This is not love. This is not love that God desires for have for each other, to not harm your neighbor. This is not love. Adultery, love, is chastity outside of marriage and fidelity in marriage of one man, one woman. Have you noticed what is happening in the culture right now? The fundamental order of God's creation is under attack. Male and female, under attack. Marriage between husband and wife, under attack. With the new subjective version of love, or not love, being love. Love is love is love. That's the subjective version of human emotions. But it's not the love that God established in creation when he lovingly created us male and female and lovingly put in place the covenant of marriage. Keep on going through the commandments and see that love doesn't steal. Love doesn't bear false witness. And boy, do we have a problem with that right nowadays, of not telling the truth. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't covet. Or as Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in with the truth. Really let that description of Paul sink in. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And so what does it do? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, this kind of love, never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, as set forth and revealed by the Word of God. That kind of love is what never fails, protects, hopes, and trusts. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. Let's turn to John chapter 15 to make more of a connection here. John chapter 15 begins with Jesus giving the example, telling about himself, I am. That's that word, ego, ema, I am, ema, I am. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jumping down to verse 4, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now jumping down to John 15, now to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Did you hear that word remain? Remain, remain, remain. Sometimes other translations have abide, abide, abide in my love. Remain in my love, abide in my love. It really means abide in me. And I was trying to think of an illustration to sort of make this akin to, so you can understand a little bit, and preparing marinade for a meat. That's what I mean. It's maybe a bad illustration, but it came to my mind, a marinade. And you place that meat in the marinade. That meat abides. It remains in the marinade. So the essence of the marinade penetrates into the meat, changes the flavor and characteristic of the meat. Abide in me. Abide in Christ so that Christ comes into you. The characteristic and flavor of Christ comes into you. Remain in Christ. Soak in Christ. Jesus. How? By soaking in the Word of God. So you learn love by reading the revealed Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, this love. Here's a person struggling to understand the Scriptures and comes alongside and sits and to explain, as Philip did to the for the Ethiopian. This love says no to evil. This love says no to the devil and all his empty promises. Real, genuine love as revealed from the Word of God, which is God is love. This love does not delight in evil, which redefining sin actually does do. Redefining sin actually delights in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. Truth. We have ceased to seek truth as a culture in general. It's narrative that is proclaimed, but a search for what is actually true? Love seeks the truth. It rejoices in the truth. Love protects. Love preserves. And this love is defined objectively as revealed in the Word of God. Love is demonstrated by the Son, by the Father, the Son of the Father, the only begotten Son, laying down His life for us. That is objectively showing us what love is. Laying His life down, humbly, willingly walking and stumbling as He went to that cross and was crucified, died and buried, and rising on the third day. This God is love. And the finished work of Christ is love revealed. The atoning work of Christ that brings you one, takes away all the wrath, all the penalty of sin, all of it gone in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You have been set free from the devil, sin, death, and all those empty promises because love has done this as revealed by the Word of God. Love as Christ loves us. This love is the revealed in the Word. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love, and then I add this phrase right there so you really understand, love as revealed in God's Word. Whoever lives in love, and this love is the revealed from the revealed Word of God, lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. What kind of love? The love of God that is revealed in the Word of God. This love is made complete among us. In other words, brought to fullness so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. We'll have confidence in the day of judgment because we know we are so loved, the penalty of sin has completely been taken away. We are totally forgiven. That love totally forgives us. And also from that 1 John chapter 4, the end of verse 17, because in this world we are like Him. What that means is we love as the Word of God reveals love truly is. Not the subjective emotions of this world. Oh, Daddy, I love him. Not that kind of love. But the love that comes from the Word of God. I lay my life down for you. I forgive your sins through my Son. I mean, that revealed love. This is right. This is wrong. That kind of love. That's what we're speaking of. Because in this world, we're like Him. And that we love like Him. The truth and all those wonderful things. And then on the front of the bulletin, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Love one another deeply from the heart. That's the kind of love we are to have for each other. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to step on each other's toes sometimes? Probably. Do we love? Oh, yes, we love. We forgive, we show compassion, we show grace, and we show it in here to each other, most importantly. So we're out in the world, we can help the world see what love truly is. Because we share it here and we live it out there as we remain in Christ. It's a challenge. It is hard. But this love is freeing. This love that we speak of is revealed in the Word of God is freeing because all your sins are forgiven and you have life in Christ. That's the kind of love the Father has for you. It's powerful love. It'll change a person. It'll change you, change me. And maybe this brief moment looking to the revealed Word of God in love, you see the love of God in a vastly different way. And you're able to discern more what the world calls love not necessarily is the love of God. But you have the ability to see it and proclaim it so that you seek the truth. You love as God loves. And you lead another to Christ because you love them as Christ loves them. Amen and amen.